All right, so here we are live on BBS Radio, worldwide live. Thank you so much for all those who are participating online. Thank you for being here. And I also thank BBS and the person who is sponsoring us to be on BBS. That's just awesome. Greatly appreciate it. We have a bunch of people who have called in on the phone line, and still more people are joining us. We had four more people joining in the last minute, and I welcome you folks. So please say your name and location. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Teresa from Indiana.
Hi, Teresa. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Lisa, San Francisco.
How are you doing?
All better and better.
Great. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. All my heart.
And this is Susan from Mesa.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. Thank you. And I know more people have joined in. If you want to, feel free to say your name and location.
Maryland, Pennsylvania.
Hello, Marilyn. How are you doing tonight?
Doing okay. How are you guys?
Doing well. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here.
All right. My pleasure. And more people have joined in. I welcome you all. If you want to, feel free to speak up and say your name and location. All right. 2 minutes, 1 minute till the hour. And I haven't checked the announcement email yet. Let's see. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Well, you may end up staying in the background. We welcome you and we thank you for being here.
You want to hear a spiritual joke?
You have a good joke? Let me first welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Are you looking for a good joke?
I guess
I
somebody...
One.
I think you were the joke, man. Sorry. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Say your name and location.
Steven Flexa.
Hey, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
All right.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Gwen. How are you?
We're telling dirty jokes.
Oh, no, no. Don't do that. It's raining too hard to get dirty.
Only in your hacked email.
No, we're talking about changing car oil and stuff. That's what dirty jokes are.
You know, there was this famous... When I was a kid, there was this famous dirty joke that was going around. And when... It went something like this. Okay, you want to hear a dirty joke? Good. This boy fell in the mud. you want to hear a dirtier joke? Two boys fell in the mud.
Hey, when?
And then, this was a joke my father had told me. It was like the best joke of my childhood. He used to say, did you know the wild men of Borneo didn't have any rear ends? And you're supposed to say, "Well, how did they go if they didn't have any rear ends?" And the answer was, "That's what made them wild."
I'll tell you,
terrible jokes from my childhood.
But you still remember them.
Yeah, I got to tell you,
well, and yet you bring them here.
I've got to tell you what my dad told me was the dirtiest joke he had heard when he was in school, just so he could compare what life was like later. Because he was born in 1905, so you know he's a whole lot older.
Let me just say hello to everyone on BBS.
Okay.
And I don't think we'll start the recorder yet. I don't
know. But this one isn't, you know, it's so clean, it's funny. That's what's funny about it. And they considered it a dirty joke. That's what cracks me up.
But go ahead.
Anyway, okay. There was this beautiful woman sitting on a park bench, and the first guy that went by on a horse, and then the second guy walked by, and the third guy, let's say he jogged by, whatever. Now you're supposed to figure out which person knew her. It turns out the answer to the question was horse man, like the equestrian, horse manure. And that was a joke. You know, and they just howled with laughter when they were kids.
How old were you, Steve?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going on 75.
Not now.
My dad.
Not now. Your dad, what he told you?
My dad was, you know, he told me that probably when I was a teenager.
Okay, let's take a vote. How many of you like the horse manure joke? Just say, hey.
Hey.
Okay. How many like the wild man of Borneo?
I like that one.
I got one for you.
Didn't hear all
the Wait a second. I'm going to start the recording.
Let me tell my joke.
Your line doesn't sound so clear, Wynn.
It doesn't sound clear?
Oh, and then yesterday it was not great either, and neither was that. Do you have another headset for the last week or so? Is that correct?
I'm using what's a good headset. This one's not clear. Oh, God. You know, these people that are listening every week, and they hear us go through this, and they say, what's wrong with that guy? Why doesn't he get a good headset? So,
use whatever Heise is using. He's always clear.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably on his landline.
Yes.
We're always on Skype or a cell phone. And the reason for that is, first of all, we don't have a landline. I do have one other phone I can put on here. Okay. Am I really not clear, Heise?
Let's first mute the lines here for a moment. Okay.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Okay. Right now you're pretty good.
I'm pretty good. Okay. Because this usually is good. All right.
It's not great, but good.
All right. I do have one other headset here. I mean, literally, in the past year, I've gone through 30 different headsets. Okay. So it's not the lack of trying.
When you don't speak, your line is silent, but when you start talking, there comes a static sound with your voice.
Right now, you mean?
Yes.
Okay. Now, how is that right now? Is that better?
Yes.
Is that a lot better?
It's a lot better. Watch out,
okay,
because
play.
You need a wind. The wind's coming in the mic.
Okay, I unplugged my charger, so hopefully, let me see, am I charged enough?
That makes a big difference.
Yes.
It does.
Hello, Terry.
Hi.
Well,
Terry, we've been waiting for you, Terry.
I heard.
Yeah. So, now let me see. Somebody had a joke. I'll tell you what.
This conference is being recorded.
This is September 9th, 2013. And this is Wynn and Terry in Sedona and all of you everywhere. And if you looked at our subject line today, it said future. And I don't know if you guys have noticed this or have cognized it, but what we're doing is actually an example, at least to some extent, of what we talk about. Because we are in a state of evolution. We are in a state of motion. You know, the calls are in a state of changing quality. You are in a state of transmutation, many of you. And you have changed from the time you've come on to the calls till now. And we have learned to understand some things through our own direct, I have, and I think many of you have, through our own direct experience, rather than hearing it or believing it. Many of you have had experiences personally, in one way or another, that have validated the things we talk about. So, as I watch things, I say, where are we going? You know what? There's what they call probability vortices or trajectories. And if you note, very rarely do we have a prophecy. And there's a lot of trajectories on this planet. A lot of people that are creating possible futures. And one of the reasons we don't do prophecies is because we are doing something that's outside of the timelines. And everything that's prophetic is in timelines. And, you know, when we're doing things outside of the timelines, and I hope you understand what I mean by that, we are above all the other trajectories, which means if that's true, all we got to do is make what we're doing stronger, have more people, and this particular trajectory would become more of a serious player on the planet. But what is the trajectory? What is the trajectory that we've been on, and where we've come to, and where we're going, okay? And I would say the trajectory that we've been on is, many of you heard me on the radio or found me in some other way, started paying attention to our calls, read my materials, and as you read, paid attention, something resonated, and it kept resonating. And, you know, we make this outrageous, preposterous claim, or even idea, I don't even claim it, it's an idea, that we have group souls paying attention to us that want to make a difference on our planet and in our lives. And they have a really hard time finding people down here to pay attention to. And, geez, I can see why. I mean, even in the things I do, there's so many obstacles. There's so many temptations. And somehow, I think, knock on wood, I've managed to get something to this point, and it's not corrupted. It's still innocent. And it doesn't mean I'm innocent. It doesn't mean you're innocent. But what we do together is innocent. And that there is this beautiful energy connecting us. And most of us don't even know each other. Well, you know, what do we do with that? Where does that go? I remember when I first started doing conference calls, when I first started, I said, you know what, if I go on a traveling kind of thing, and I do a weekend workshop, and if I emphasize doing that, then I'd have to charge a fairly good amount of money to be able to even just pay the expenses and to rent a room. You know, whenever you look at something happening, usually you don't look at how it's grounded. And everything in this planet has to be grounded, including you and I. Grounding it takes the energy and brings it from up high to the earth through our bodies. And, you know, there's something very unique about humans and their DNA, because it can do that. It can play that part. And grounding the lower levels is almost as important as opening up the higher levels. And for me, I think most of my life, grounding has been an issue. And it was my way of trying to stay free of this realm, my way of being a wanderer. Because if you ground in the wrong way, and I shouldn't use the word wrong, but if you ground in a way that is compromised, then your ground gets very sticky. So grounding is really a challenge, and it's important. What do I mean by grounding in a way that's compromised? Well, you know, one of the ways to be grounded is to be in a good relationship and having good sex. Good sex grounds you, really good sex, loving sex, you know? And it's like, and of course that is a huge urge in men, probably more than women, but, you know, women ground men, okay? That's why they give men energy, and men go out and work, and they bring back money, and they pay for the house, and it completes the circuit. So now, this is not for everybody. This is not everyone's dharma to do that. But for many people, it's the way it works. And if you pick the wrong woman or the wrong man, it gets screwed up. Like, for example, you could have a relationship that grounds everything, but then there's no spiritual connection. So everything goes into the first two or three chakras and nothing on the higher chakras. Now, that's not bad if you don't get stuck. That means you have to go elsewhere. You have to go to meetings. You have to be in a group. You have to go somewhere to stimulate, open up the higher chakras, because in your home life, you're not doing it. You could, but two people have to do it together, or it doesn't happen. So the way we ground is incredibly important, because the way you ground in some ways can lead to the way that you get stuck in this realm. Because if you ground in the wrong situation, and then things go wrong, you get attached to it. And, you know, you ground in the wrong situation, you can even forget your higher aspects. I mean, all of you who are listening had past lifetimes. And I would venture to say that in your past lifetimes, you had some really exalted ones. And by that, I mean you had high chakra lifetimes. And when you got born again into this lifetime, there was no guarantee that you were going to have that this lifetime. It had to come about. Now, it could have been a guarantee if you picked your parents, and your parents were able to hold that energy, and then you would have it, and you created it. But oftentimes, you pick the wrong parents, or you pick parents, I won't say the wrong ones, you pick parents to teach you certain lessons. And, you know, I can kind of see how it works. Your higher self, which is you, on an expanded level, knows what you need to then you're on the other side, this would be a good question. How much is your high self directing your future lifetimes as opposed to your conscious self? Maybe we'll ask that session, that question, before we're over tonight. Because your high self knows what you need for your next step in evolution, in getting off the planet. And as I understand it, it will create the circumstances for that to occur. So that's why somebody that had a bunch of lifetimes in prominence, in money, and in power, and they get attached to it, which oftentimes people do, their high self says, they've got to have a lifetime of impoverishment. So they can experience it. And then they come in, and it seems unfair because they have all that memory of opulence and lots of cash. So they go through a lifetime of poverty, and they have to learn how to accept that, live with that, to balance the experience of the opulence. Now, somebody said, it doesn't matter when you can look at the ups and the downs of life from a neutral position, then it doesn't matter. You can have opulence, you can have lots of money, you can be impoverished. Of course, it does matter if you're starving. Let's say a simple life, okay? At least where your needs are met. And you can be really happy in that situation. And some of you know that. Some of you do lead simple lives. And some of you are happy with that. You know, getting into having lots of things, everything you have, everything you own creates a responsibility, from cleaning the dust off the tables to changing the oil in your car. Then you need even more money so you can pay someone to handle all the responsibilities. And then that person is saying, well, what do I do next, boss? So now you got to worry about how to keep that guy busy. And you see, you have all these things, and you're sucked into a target. Now, does it have to be that way? Probably not. But oftentimes, that's the way it is. Even in our own modest lives, we can see how the things we own keep us occupied. I mean, I'm fixing computers. I'm fixing viruses. It's like, you know, there's no escaping it if you're in a human body. Well, I wanted to say we have grown together. Feels to me like we've grown. And we have, as a group, made little inroads in impacting the future. And I'm not sure if you can grasp how that works. And if you're in a place where everything is stuck for you, keep coming to the calls. Hopefully it'll get unstuck. But when your energy gets unstuck, when it becomes free and loose, when you learn how to connect to the energy of the higher realms, which says they're group souls, and they start connecting with you, and then you make an intention. And of course, at first you say, I want to get along with my husband. I want to do this. I need money. Blah, 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 blah. But when you realize your power in these intentions, you say, how do we change the world? How do we get more people on our phone line? What is the next step? Because we are creating it. We, you, myself, Terry, this is not meant to be. This whole thing we're doing is not meant to be, I would say. Somebody might argue with me. But when people talk about God, and if it's God's will and meant to be, I always take affront at that. Because, you know what? If something is meant to be, it's part of a trajectory. And all trajectories can change. And these calls we do, these comings together, are actually, I think, trajectory shifters. That's a good name, trajectory shifters. Because as you see yourself from a higher perspective, when you learn that you can actually have a positive impact on other people, your whole life starts to orient itself to say, how do I do more of that? And that's the only reason I'm doing these calls, despite occasional, you know, people saying, Wynn loves to hear himself talk, Wynn is on an ego trip. And somebody's, you're welcome to think that if you want. I mean, that's part of free will. You can evaluate and think whatever you want. But I know that the reason I'm doing these calls is I keep getting emails from you guys that, you know, imagine me and Terry, or even Daphne, me and Terry and Daphne, and we're on these calls and we're talking into the wind. I mean, it seems like people are listening, but, you know, occasionally somebody emails back. And then suddenly, someone that's listening to this call for 2 years has totally changed their life. They took something on the call and applied it, made it work. They saw the Elohim. They got ding-dongs in their sleep. They had a healing. They had a synchronicity. They had a dream. And it's like, here we are putting this out. And right now, it's probably 500 people that are listening. But do you realize we could have 5 million people listening? I mean, it's the same effort on my part. And it's like, what if we had 5 million people listening? Well, how do you get 5 million people listening? Now, you know, I mentioned to somebody in our group, well, the next time I'm on George Norrie, there'll be lots of people. Lots of new people, and he thought I was saying it out of my ego, like, oh, wow, I'm going to have a lot of people paying attention to me, and it's not true. It's, I don't care. In fact, the truth of the matter is, it is scary. I remember when I was on George Norrie last time, and suddenly we did a conference call, and we were banging the needles. We hit all these people. And then there were all these people saying, I need healing. I need this. I need that. So how am I going to, you know, we went from a real small group talking about my sister, and suddenly there's all these people having hope. And there is hope. But you know what? It happens in its own way, in its own time. And I'm not doing it. I'm showing up. Terry's not doing it. She's showing up. And we're doing it. In fact, I am doing it. I'm not doing it, and I am doing it. Because I'm showing up, I'm being neutral, and that's what it takes to do it. And you're showing up and being neutral, and that's what it takes for you to do it. And there's always more. You know, I got a email from somebody who's probably on the line tonight who was telling me, knowledge needs works, okay? And so there's all this knowledge that we're imparting on this call. And I think there's also works that we're imparting. Not just knowledge. It's not just information. When we go into this, it's like we're in another's, I'm in another zone. And, many of you are experiencing how fast the time flies on these calls. And time can only fly fast when you're moving your own hologram into those dimensions where things move faster. And it really doesn't matter what I say or what they say. Although it does matter. See, it's all paradoxes. It doesn't matter on one hand, but it does because in the words, there's the wisdom, and in the wisdom, there's little things that I used to have this experience all the time. I would go to see various spiritual teachers, and something they said triggered something in me, and I kept thinking about it. A year later, I was thinking about it because it was deep, and it related to patterns that were below the surface of my normal consciousness. Okay? But it was bringing them up, and I was learning about those patterns. And I kept thinking about it. And I know for some of you, you're thinking about some of the things we say or they say because it's deep. It goes beneath the surface of your normal day-to-day patterns. And it's all the kind of stuff that is helping you and us to unplug from the matrix. And so we're talking about trajectories and moving into the space of here and now where we're actually, instead of being forced to follow a trajectory, we're creating trajectories. And we're creating trajectories on a very short window, like not far into the future. And then we flow on that trajectory, and it goes to the next one somewhere. So, this idea of creating trajectories is really a big deal because it's one of the things the negative uses, and they're to create their version of reality. Like, for example, we had information. Now, this is just an answer to my question, but things like the Bible codes were part of the negative planning to create trajectories. Perhaps Nostradamus was someone that was part of a negative plot. I don't know. I'm just saying it's how it could work to create a trajectory. I did a whole talk one Monday on how revelations might have been part of a negative programming to create a trajectory, a negative trajectory in this realm, and have a negative outcome. So when you're busy looking for, stuff about the Illuminati and reading all the trajectories they are creating, then even just reading them is putting energy into their trajectories. And, when I do private channeling sessions, and it's happened in the public as well, some of you may have heard me say this, I have to be very careful what I talk about. Because whatever I talk about comes in. If I ask about certain reptilian groups, boom, they're there. If I ask about, I don't even want to say they're any more than that. I've already said, just mentioning that brings in a whoosh of something negative. So, it's tricky, because there is a lot of negative here. And it's important to know how things work so that you don't get caught up in the negative. And, years ago, somebody said to me, don't get caught up in the negative. I would have said, I'm really smart. I'm not going to get caught up in the negative. And, at that time, I said, if something's negative, it's going to have two horns. It's going to have big teeth. It's going to be scary looking. And what I've learned is that's not how the negative looks. At least not the most effective negative, because the most effective negative can look like a beautiful woman. It can look like a charismatic channeler. It can speak in flowery language, and it will trick you, and it will hook your energy, and you will be, in the future, could make huge mistakes in judgment, things that could really screw up your own future karmas by not having a little bit of discernment on this level. So from my perspective, it's a bit of a trick. It's a trick because if I talk about it, I bring the energy in. If I don't talk about it, you don't have any discernment. Plus, if I do talk about it, people get mad at me because it pushes the edges of this work, because we don't usually do that. But there's so many things that are upside down in this world. And believe me, if I didn't know what I knew now, if I didn't have the experience that I've had, I cannot believe that I wouldn't get hooked by the negative, okay? So I know how tricky it is and how it can look good and not be good. It can look loving. It can talk about love. And yet, underneath, there's an agenda. And it's very hard to see the agenda. So you guys are part of the creation of the future. It's not me to tell you, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. I was thinking of all the things we can do. People are asking this all the time. How do I open up my DNA strands? How do I do that? Well, you know, we talk about it. We talk about, you know, find a local church that has a good energy. It has to have a good energy. Sit in it. Come to our calls, because there's energy on the calls. We have team shift, and a small group of people have taken advantage of that. That's coming to meetings every day on the phone. Five people for like 10 minutes, calling in the light, and we've had some great results from people doing that all over the world. You know, small little sideline. If you're interested, send me an email. I'll forward it to Edna. And she's one of those people that's been working in the background now for a few years, helping with team shift. And you know what? When you think of doing something like that, you know, hey, every time I think of doing something, because I come up with endless ideas, I come up with the idea, but you know what? I can't snap my finger and it happens. There's a whole lot of grounding to make a really good idea happen. For example, with team shift. Team shift is where people meet every day, a group of like five people on the phone. And they call in the light, and they put things in the light. Then they get to know each other over time. And on the really good team shift groups, people end up having all this love. And it really helps them hold the space. And Edna has been coordinating it. And one of the reasons we ended up with some good team shifts is because Edna takes the time to actually talk to somebody, feel them out, and then direct them where it might work the best. And she's been doing this now very quietly in the background, and she's made really good choices. No one comes back and complains to me, not usually, about Edna. So I thought of another good idea. You know, I talked about the thumb cards, and I'm just about to mail them. You know, I say, what a good idea. Then I got to implement it. I got to ground it. There's nothing. You know, I think when you're in consumerism and you look at the world, everything looks like it happens automatically. And yet, it doesn't. Somebody's doing it. And so I've had to design these cards. I had to put something on the back. I I ordered some little card cases just to send to some people because I want to see if it works, if it's a way to attract new people into this energy that we're creating. And, you know, I was thinking about it. It's like a way that anyone can be a phenomenal service because they can walk around town, take a little business card that says Intelligent Infinity, and lay it somewhere and bless it and bring in the energy. And it will work. People will find it sooner or later. Now, and when somebody finds it, one of the great things about anyone who finds one of your cards will keep track of people in the city. So then people in the city can start coming together and we can have team shift groups for people in physical presence, which would be great. And then people can support each other. And if anything breaks down, which loads of people are saying it will, there's a group of people in a city that can support each other until they get it together. And we don't even know what that means. And another idea, is passing these cards out and just seeing what comes up. Another idea is, I just did a total blank. I was doing good. And
share the Creator God book.
Huh?
Share the Creator God book.
Oh, yeah. Share the, you know, buy some Creator God books and share them. And another thing that is a good idea, a really good idea, email me if you like this idea, okay? And that is, one of the things early on that I discovered, and this blew my mind, is I was writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and Terry and I would be going to the local coffee shop, the local restaurants all over Pasadena, and she was helping edit it, and I would read the stuff, and she would say, change that word, change this word, and we really got it good. But what one of the things that happened is while we were reading the book, particularly the Ra channelings in there, this energy came into the room. It's kind of like the energy that comes into our calls. And it was in the restaurant. And it was such a nice energy that the people in the restaurant didn't want us to leave. And we would spend two or three hours, and then we're getting ready to leave. And they would say, are you leaving? Why don't you stay longer? And, you know, I was, like, thinking, could that energy have been Ra? Could that have been... I don't even remember if I was talking to the Elohim when we first had that experience, Terry. Remember?
I remember.
Was that before? I think that was before I was ever connecting with the Elohim, right?
Right. And we would be there, and I would, like, we'd be looking at something to edit, and you'd say, well, what about this? And then I would just open myself up, and the Ra group would come in, or one aspect of the Ra group would come in, and they'd say, it would be better if you put more David Wilcott quotes between the chapters instead of having so many Cayce quotes. They'd say stuff like that. And it was definitely their energy.
Well, did you know that before I did?
I know it was happening, yes.
I mean, you know, all my life I had inspiring thoughts, but I never realized that it was an intelligence from somewhere else, you know? But in any case, I started noticing the energies, and the restaurants noticed the energies. And then I said to myself, could that energy be the rock group? And then they have this little statement in the book that says, as you study us, we study you. I said, well, but they seem to be saying that we're studying them. Maybe they're really, you know, it's like, how do you take a statement like that and believe it? I mean, except we were feeling something. And, you know, I was doing was writing the book at the time. I had no idea about anything else except the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And so it occurred to me, since that occurs, since these guys come in when you talk about them, a really good project would be to put together people in our group that need more contact and connection, particularly if you're one of those people that's isolated and alienated and you have no one in your life. Of course, you know, no one in your life that understands anything. You're a wanderer. To put little groups together of people reading our materials. And there's another thing that happens when you read these materials in the presence of other people, even if it's on the phone. That is, your level of comprehension increases. It's like the group energy of doing this with someone else increases your level of assimilation of the materials. And oftentimes, I will read something with Terry, and she will get it. We'll both get it. We'll both understand it better because we read it out loud to each other. So, you know, we have the raw material, we have the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, we have the Elohim book. And, I mean, I think it's a great idea to put some little study groups together of people taking turns reading things and maybe discussing it and see how you understood it. Because the act of doing that, it's not because you need to, how can I say, the act of doing that, I believe, will create more affinity, more connection for everyone who participates. So if you're one of those people that say, I wish I could have a connection, email me. I'll get a slew of emails, and then we'll see how to coordinate it. You know, one of the silly things that let me tell you, if you come into a group like this, one of the silly things that happens that screws it up is everybody likes attention. And when you come into a group, this liking of attention can cause you to be a negative influence on the group. And that letting the attention evolve rather than, I've watched this happen with certain people. They come into a group and they dominate it. And if you're dominating it and everybody loves you, it's okay. But if you're dominating it and people aren't with you, if you happen to pull their energy in, then you're going to do damage to the group. After a certain period of time, people won't want to show up. It has to be co-creative. It has to be, and it's not who speaks the most. It's like the energy of the speaking. You know, recently, somebody was complaining because, why are you talking so much, Wim? Why don't you let Terry channel more? And it's like, I would do that, but it doesn't work. You know, in fact, Gary said, why don't you have Terry explain that? Because I'm bringing the frequencies in while I'm talking, and then it's easy to channel once the frequencies are present. But at the very beginning of the call, it's very hard to channel. It's not impossible, because they of us. It's all of us. And when the call first starts, there's not a focus of oneness. It's getting more so. But it's like when I talk, I start to create a focus of oneness. And then when they come in, they just hit the ground running. So that's my job, to create this. And to create all the stuff from the human level. So all this stuff grounds. It has to ground to be real. You have to ground it. You have to ground your life. And with all this high stuff, the grounding is imperative, of utmost importance, because that's what makes it stick. Otherwise, it just flies off. And let me see. I don't know if Daphne's listening tonight. Daphne complained all the time about grounding and how hard it was to ground. How for her and for me and for both of us to do that. So we are finally getting it grounded, and as this gets grounded, it creates more potentials for expansion. And expansion is very important, because if you see how this works, we are creating trajectories, and more people who can hold the energy make the trajectory stronger. And there's other people doing this, but I think the unique aspect of it is our ability to be public, transparent, in front of everybody, and there's a potential to reach millions of people, and there's a potential for another book to come out by me. There's a potential for my movie to come out. And it's like, the thing is, I know I'm creating it. And I've gotten to the place in the past few months where I was just frazzled. I had too many things I was creating, and I couldn't create them all, so I got dispersed. Getting more focused now. You probably hear it in my voice. And as I get more focused, I get into the ability of creating things. And as you get more focused, you get into the ability to create things. What does it mean to create stuff? It means that you're down in this matrix, and there's all these holograms of people, and all these reality systems, and you're bouncing around all of them. And when you start to hold the higher energy, you then can project into the reality system, and it will track you. It will shift. You'll move it. Somebody will change because of you, because you could rearrange. Some people call this realm a hall of mirrors. And it is true. It's kind of like, did you ever get into a relationship and you didn't know who was doing something? It felt like she's blaming you and you're blaming her. And who is doing it? Because once something happens, it's hard to figure it out. Because it's all on such a psychic level. And after a while, I noticed this pattern with myself when I was younger, that when I would be in a relationship and the relationship would stop or end, usually the other person would get into a relationship with someone else that was very similar to the relationship they had with me. And if that broke, they'd get into a third one. And if I got into another relationship, it was totally new, because I was more malleable to responding to the projection of the other person. So I could mold around that. But the people kept creating the same relationship because they didn't have that malleability. But when you're in the relationship, and some of you know exactly what I mean, when you're in the relationship, it's hard to figure out who's doing what. And people are blaming each other. And it's like, it takes a lot of, how can I say it, looking at it from the top down to figure out how the trajectories in that particular relationship got established. Well, I blew it. I said that I was going to do a session. Maybe I'll just let them say hello. We have about four. We could probably go for another 4 or 5 minutes at the most, if Doug doesn't throw me off. Terry? Hello, Terry.
Yeah.
Are they willing to say something?
Well, I was thinking of, it's like Gary had mentioned that maybe I could say a few words about like how I feel very, very relieved when you talk more, and it gives me more time to connect with the Elohim and the Ra group and set up the connections. And then, you know, there, rather than just talk about this or that, they prefer it when you ask questions. And then also when you set up some kind of a situation and then you ask questions, and then it focuses them to be able to address something that you've asked for or would like to hear about. Now, I think you were asking a question earlier on today and said it's something that would be good to hear their viewpoint.
Now I forget. Do you remember?
I do, too.
I should have. Well, it'll come up again. All right. By the way, I sent this email out right after the other one because somebody sent me the funniest email, and they called it the Law of One Cat, okay? But I renamed it to Three Cats Listening to a Sunday Session. And it will really... It's really funny. I think I got to send it to the whole group. Flo said, "This is too funny. My laugh for the day." Did you see it, Terry?
No. When did you send it?
Oh, just 5 minutes before the call. And then, let's see. Lucy said, "Love that. Thank you." I mean, you have to see it to get it, okay? You have to see it to understand it. Because it's these three cats flat on their back, looking totally spaced out. And you'll get it. Open it up. Three cats listening to a Sunday session. All right? And you know what? We can stop now. I hope I was on topic. I think I was on topic because I was talking about the future. I gave some ideas about having groups reading things and talking about it. And it's a great way to know people, to build good energy, to feel the energy of the sources coming in while you're reading their words. And, you know, everything you do to help tune yourself into these energies creates a shift in your life, potentially. Creates more synchronicities, more things happening for you. Focusing on your lack or lack, like, I don't have this, I don't have that, woe is me. What you focus on is what you get. So even though there may be areas of your life that are contracted, do something fun, et cetera, et cetera. And it gives more of a chance for things to shift. It is now 6:57 p.m., and, boy, we got a lot of calls on for a Monday. Thank you all for tuning in, And thank you all for helping us to create a trajectory on this planet and holding the vision of millions of people sharing